This is episode one with former model Renee Aria. Hello and welcome to the Real Raw You podcast. My name is Jenna Clackard, former corporate executive turned lifestyle entrepreneur. Each week, we bring you a new guest to inspire you to live more, love more, and be the Real Raw You. Thank you for making this a part of your day. This episode is sponsored by the Life Design School. Are you a creator, a dreamer, a seeker? Are you ready to dive deep into the adventure of life, living, and play more? Register now for a free 4-part video series called The Fearless Millionaire, where you can do just that. That's all free at fearlessmillionaire.com. Renee is one of the industry's most highly regarded healers. She works with women to be more confident, comfortable, and sexy in their bodies, business, and relationships by dissolving roadblocks to success. She is on a mission to ignite the spiritual and financial security of 100,000 plus women across the globe. She is the founder of Sexy, Wealthy, and In Love, and the Big Bang Breakthrough Healing Sessions. Renee, welcome. Welcome to the show. Let's go ahead and get started.
Awesome. At the ripe age of 12, I started professional modeling. And I was one of those girls who was living in this small town in the Midwest. And I entertained myself with looking through different beauty magazines. And this was at the advent of the supermodel genre. Do you remember that? Like the Cindy Crawfords and the Claudia Schiffer.
Oh, totally.
Yes, Linda Evangelista's. And it was super exciting. Like there was something exciting going on in the world when all of these women came to the forefront. Just a little aside note, now looking back at my past, you know, as the adult entrepreneur that I am, I see energetically why I was so attracted to the models, because they were dominating their market and industry. I mean, the female supermodels were taking over that genre of entertainment, and they were so expressive, and I just found that to be really, really beautiful. So my parents luckily provided me with my request to attend modeling school in the big city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And I started going to classes and then immediately started getting a lot of work as this 12-year-old model. And it was so freeing for me. I didn't really enjoy school. I was like a straight-A student, but to be honest with you, I was quite bored. So having this outlet for modeling was incredible, and I was really excited about it. So naturally, I started sharing that with all of my friends, which I found out that wasn't exactly the best idea for me. We can kind of just rewind all of our memory banks to, you know, being 12, 13, 14 years old. Adolescence in school, there is a lot of bullying. There is a lot of judgment. There's a lot of comparison that's going on. There's a lot of fear that's going on in our lives during those time periods. So I was I received a little bit of the bully treatment for a while, you know, people saying that I must think that I'm prettier than everyone else, and that now that I'm a model, I think that I'm better than everybody else. So I'm sharing this because when I had that experience and that type of feedback from my friends, I actually decided at that point in my life, and this was on a subconscious level that I decided this, that it wasn't safe for me to be in my beauty or in my power in public. So I did continue modeling, but I really didn't tell anyone about it. And I, you know, that was kind of my first career. And then at age 15, I started working full-time at a clothing store, a retail store. So by the time I graduated from high school, I was already a manager of a retail store. I ended up moving myself out to California when I was 21 years old. I was working in corporate law firms. So why I'm sharing this is because on the outside level, if you just looked at my life externally, I really had it going on. I mean, I was 21, you know, living this great lifestyle. But when I moved out to California, I had a major aha moment. And that moment for me happened when my friend introduced me to meditation. So I started learning about meditation. I just started ingesting everything having to do with like the healing arts and the spiritual arts. I ended up getting certified in NLP and hypnosis and just a myriad of different healing art studies. And then I started a practice doing energetic work and intuitive work with my clients. Now, I also started journaling every day, and maybe quite a few people in the audience can relate to this. Do you, Janice, do you journal? Do you have that as a daily practice in your life?
Oh, totally.
Or have you, right?
Yeah.
So I was doing the Julia Cameron morning pages, and I truly started this practice around 22 years old, and I did this practice every single day. I mean, maybe there were a couple like missing in there, but it really was like every day I did this practice because it kept sharpening my intuitive skills. I would get to know myself. I would get to know the things that I loved about myself and the things about myself that, you know, I also was aspiring to change. So at any rate, I was writing in my journal one day and I see in my own handwriting, there's something wrong with you, and you are going to die if you don't figure out what's going on. Now, that's
totally crazy.
Cryptic. It's very cryptic, and it's very concerning. And to be just completely frank with you, I for a minute thought, oh, my God, maybe I'm very depressed, and I've been hiding this from myself. Is there a weird energy that's taking over me? Why would I write something like this? So I kind of let it pass, you know, for a day or so. And then the next day, I wrote the same thing. And after about a week's time, I decided, okay, you know, I probably need to go in and see doctors because I'm really getting the same message over and over again. So many months later and many doctors later, I was labeled a hypochondriac, which I understand because I didn't have any conclusive test results that were coming back. And I got to tell you, I was still getting the messages in my journal. And by this time, you know, this had been several months into the process. So I felt like I was on a new advent of very, very deep personal trust because I just knew inside on a gut level that something was happening. So luckily, you know, I think my guidance actually led me to the right place at the right time. I ended up having a very deep, very vulnerable, very sincere conversation with a chiropractor who really took what I was saying to heart, even though I didn't have any symptoms that seemed like they could be coming from my brain. I told him that I felt like there was something coming from my brain. So he sent me to a neurological chiropractor, and lo and behold, I go into this doctor's office by myself the day after I had went in for an MRI scan. And I can tell immediately looking at the doctor when I walk in that there's something going on. And he has me stand in front of, you know, one of the shiny light x-ray machines. And I look up to see my head with a huge tumor in it. And the tumor was so big, it was like the only thing to me that was really glowing, you know, on my head was this huge tumor. And wow, it... You know, I mean, I knew something was going on, but I definitely didn't really suspect that it was something on that level. He then revealed to me that I had one of the most rare forms of brain tumor. And the good news is that it wasn't cancerous, but the bad news is it's one of the most dangerous forms of massive brain surgery to remove it. And I needed to get it removed because there was a lot of pressure that was getting created in my brain. So, very, very long story short, I ended up going in for emergency brain surgery. And, you know, of course, I was scared. I was completely terrified. I had no idea what to really expect on the other side of waking up. But when I went into the surgery, I was so surrendered with the process. And I really thought, at the very least, at least I know that I figured out what's going on, and when I wake up from the surgery, I'm going to be able to start my life all over again, and my body's going to be so much healthier because, you know, it obviously won't be dealing with something that had been growing for almost 15 years, by the way. They traced it back that this tumor started, ironically, in my adolescence around the time that I was 15 years old. So I went in for this massive brain surgery at age 29, and then something really devastating and surprising happened. When I woke up from the surgery, really, truly, I was being wheeled down one of those dark corridors, you know, the kind that you see like on ER, you know, or some of those shows on TV, just really dark. The lights are kind of going in and out. And I vaguely remember my friend looking down at me and he said, "I'm really sorry, but something went wrong in your surgery." And I kind of fell back into the anesthesia a little bit. And a couple days later, when I got out of the intensive care unit, my surgeon came in the room and said, "Renee, I don't even know how to tell you this. And I'm really concerned because already you went through, you know, the trauma of being diagnosed with this brain tumor. But what I need to let you know is that your life is really getting ready to change again because your face is 100% paralyzed now on the right-hand side. When we got in to take out the tumor, the only thing holding the facial nerve together was the tumor itself. So as they removed the tumor, my facial nerve completely fell apart. So he let me know that what this meant is that my eye didn't produce any moisture, no closing, no blinking. My eye was just wide open. And I'd been in a hospital bed, of course, and I hadn't seen my face, so I didn't even know this, but I had an eye patch over my eye to protect my eye. And he said, "You don't have any expression on one side. You can't smile. It's going to be very difficult to chew food on that side. You know, there's some drooling that's happening over on that side." And wow, it was a lot of information to handle. And the interesting kind of almost ironic addition to the story is that I had gone back to primarily being an international model as my primary business when I went in for the brain surgery. So I'd had this huge, beautiful smile. That was kind of my signature feature, you know, as a model. It was just like this really beautiful, very natural, huge smile. And, you know, I'm being told that I can't smile or move one side of my face at all. And that's when my flip your flaws moment happened. And I think, you know, you shared with me a lot about the wonderful souls, the beautiful people in the audience on this call today. And I'm sure that they have, you know, the depth and the bandwidth of this understanding. You know, sometimes in life, you just have those epic choice point moments. And it's almost like you can really feel it on a cellular level. I became so present and so aware that whatever my response was going to be back to the doctor after getting this news was going to determine a large amount of the person that I would be and what I would experience in the future from there on out. So I kind of sat in that, you know, for a minute, and then out of my voice, I just look at him directly and say, "You know what? I'm going to smile again. I'm going to model again. I am going to heal myself. This is happening in 6 months. I have no idea how it's happening, but it is happening." And my doctor looked at me and he just kind of laughed and said, "Well, you know, you're feisty, so at least, you know, you have a lot of energy around this. So, of course, we want to support you, but, you know, there's no way that that's going to be able to happen, you know, within a 6 month time period. Even if it did spontaneously grow back together, it would still take 18 months. So I said thank you, you know, for his advice. He was a really wonderful man, and by no means am I trying to indicate that my doctors were not supportive. They were just giving me factual, you know, medical information. And I also knew that I couldn't really let those facts sink into my chosen reality if I was going to create what I really wanted to create here. So I went on an epic healing journey. I also had completely lost my hearing on the right-hand side. I lost my nerve of balance on the right-hand side, which means that I had to teach myself how to walk all over again. And I was also sleeping on people's sofas because of all of the financials that went into having the surgery. I didn't actually have the financial resources after the surgery to even afford my own place to stay. And out on top of this, you know, healing from the facial paralysis. So, you know, I share all these details because this was a time in my life where I knew like I knew that in order to create a miracle, I was going to have to create an optimal environment for myself. So mm-hmm. I was very protective of and very deliberate with the people that I chose to have in my life, with the food and the supplementations that I put in my body, with the thoughts that I was having, with the affirmations that I was using, with the personal dialogue, you know, that I was having with myself. And, you know, it's really important to add that I knew I was going to have to take massive, massive action on the physical level. So, girl, I got in front of my mirror every single day. And, you know, I would shed quite a few tears, not from my right side, because now that side didn't cry, but I would, you know, shed tears from my left-hand side and just look at my face in the mirror and, you know, look at the one side of my face that had zero wrinkles now. It was like the most interesting thing. On one part of my face, I just kind of saw my life experience all washed away, and I would just stare at that right-hand side, and I would will it to move. I would look at the left-hand side and pretend that the left-hand side was the right-hand side, basically trying to kind of play some positive, you know, mind tricks on my body. And I did that every single day. And I got to tell you, nothing happened. You know, nothing happened for days. Nothing happened for weeks. And then all of a sudden, I got a tiny, tiny spark back on the right-hand side of my face. And that was a huge epic win for me, because I knew from all the experience that I had had with energy healing in the past and with doing other healing arts work, that if I had some movement, that I would be able to facilitate that movement, you know, into other directions in my face. So, you know, the story of it is that almost exactly 6 months to the day that I made the declaration to my surgeon in the hospital room, my face had recovered about 60%, which means that the facial nerve did spontaneously grow itself back together again to 60%. So my face no longer, what changed symptom-wise is my face no longer was in a kind of a stroke mode. However, you could only see like two teeth, you know, on the right-hand side when I would smile. And my eyes started moving as well, but it still wouldn't squint. And when it would blink, it only blinks like probably one or two times for every four or five times that the other more healthy eye blinks. So what that created for me was a very interesting contrasting experience, because yay, I had this amazing miraculous healing and my face moved mm-hmm. again, and I did look so much better. And of course I emotionally felt better because of this. I mean, this was a huge, huge victory. My doctors couldn't believe it. The other people in the acoustic neuroma communities, which was the type of brain tumor I had, they couldn't believe that this happened. And I felt really good about it, maybe for a couple of weeks. And then I had a lot of depression that set in for me, Venus. I almost want to cry, you know, going back and remembering this, because it got to the point that all I could see when I would look at myself was the old self that I wanted to be before I had gone into the brain surgery. So then it happened that every time I would look at myself in the mirror, I would be longing for that big smile that I had had before I had brain surgery. And I felt a lot of pain in my heart because I wasn't looking on the outside the same way that I was feeling in the inside. And, you know, I'm very thankful for all of the personal development work that I had done with myself, you know, from age 22-ish to, you know, 30, as I was in this very deep experience, because I realized that I was being extraordinarily out of integrity with myself. I knew on the chorus deep levels of me, my eternal self, that I was so radiant, like, I mean, beyond beautiful, like radiant. You know, I knew that I was a radiant spirit. I'm a child of the divine. I am perfect in all ways on the eternal level, and yet I would look at myself in the physical and just not be happy with it and be judgmental about it. So basically, I kind of came to this formula, which I now call flip your flaws, where mm-hmm. I realized that the thing that was causing me the most depression was the amount of shame that I had. The shame that I felt for not looking exactly the same as I did before. The shame that I felt that even though this miracle happened and the nerve grew 60% back together again, and I was still a very beautiful woman. I mean, I've been a model, so, you know, you can't take all that away. Like, I was still very beautiful on the outside, but I felt shameful that I wasn't completely stoked, you know, about that healing and that I wanted it to be 100%. So my remedy for my shame was to challenge myself and go out in the world and start drawing attention to my flaw, start drawing attention to my crooked smile, start drawing attention to my eye that, you know, kind of does funny things and, you know, looks like it rolls to the back of my head sometimes because of the neurological injury. So I started making social media videos and I would pull all of my hair back and just emphasize people being able to look at the right-hand side. I got together in small groups with women and just started sharing my story about how flawed I had felt inside and out and how I was going to remedy this with curing the shame by sharing. And I've got to tell you, it was so extraordinarily profound because what I realized is that when I stood in the light of sharing, that stand allowed for light to actually shine through me and provide a gateway and a portal for other people to start feeling their inner beauty and their inner power just through the simple act of me vulnerably sharing without shame. So mm-hmm. that's how I now say that I was able to flip the flaw, which has very little to do with something on the outside. You know, flipping a flaw really has to do with moving past everything that we've been taught in the personal development world and, you know, kind of in some of like the law of attraction, you know, type worlds where it's like, oh, just transform, you know, just visualize and transform and get yourself from one place to the next. That's very valuable and that can be super helpful for people, but there is another level of deeper embodiment that comes when you can be in a place of transcendence. And what I've discovered, you know, in my process of all of this is that transcendence really comes when you have the courage to fully accept exactly where you are. You can still have the aspiration to get to, you know, some of these other things that you think are going to bring you joy and happiness as long as they are healthy in the journey of being able to get there. So if you notice that you're being self-destructive or self-abusive or saying that you're only going to be happy with yourself whenever you get to said goal, that's the mark is really being missed because we have the opportunity all the time at every single moment to feel entirely embodied and to feel beyond beautiful, but to actually be extraordinarily radiant. So, you know, I propose that instead of what the dictionary says about flaws being defects and blemishes, which is horrible, you know, of course we're going to feel ugly if we think that we're walking around with all these defects and blemishes. Mm-hmm. Like, I now know that flaws are actually the gateways to our sincerity. My flaw has given me the ability to be extremely, extremely sincere. My flaw has been a key to unlocking my crooked smile, which is totally my uniqueness, and it's the thing that people remember me for. So instead of being, you know, something that's not perfect at all and that you should be embarrassed about, I get to say, oh my gosh, no, I'm still hot, and I have a totally crooked smile. How amazing is that? If I could still be hot and have a totally crooked smile, what are all the cool things that you have going on that are a combination of the light and dark? And how can you move to a place of being able to celebrate that within yourself and celebrate also the light and the dark in everyone so that we can start having real conversations? This is about realness. It's about sincerity. It's about extraordinary depth, not trying to escape anything in the present moment. Does that make sense?
I love that. You know, and I wrote down like some of the things that you're saying, you know, fully accepting where we are. I mean, how many people really, truly, fully accept where we are and are their radiant self no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that you do retreats and workshops that really focus on, you know, seeing what is. And, you know, and one of the other things that I have that, maybe we'll talk about it in a minute, but let me ask you this question. You know, mm-hmm. I know you do workshops on, it seems to me, I use the word vulnerability, like just being like, it is what it is. I'm here. This is me. Tell me about some of the journeys and stories that happen within those retreats and workshops on how women truly be themselves.
Mm-hmm. I would love to share that. And you know what just came to me in this moment? I'm not sure if it would be appropriate or not, so let me just run this by you. Would it be of interest, or might we have, you know, between 3 to 5 minutes for me to do a short meditation with our audience? Because one thing I noticed, so I'm going to trace this back and come full circle with what your question was around the retreat. I feel that we can get energetically confused sometimes about who we are and the truth of who we are, because we have been so many places in our life. We have lived so many different places. We have been in so many different jobs. We've been in so many different relationships. We have friends. We have family. We have all these interests. We have all these things that we're connected to. And sometimes we are just not fully in the present moment. We're still fragmented and, you know, we're hanging out and about in like yesterday and in tomorrow. So I think something that I might be able to offer as a real takeaway right now, at least on that presencing level, which is something that we do in the retreats, you know, really bringing women, you know, specifically in this last retreat that I did, home to themselves, home in their present body, and where that really has to start is with becoming present. So is it okay if I do this quick meditation?
Yeah, they would love that.
I invite you wherever you are right now, if you're sitting or if you're lying down, to just close your eyes very gently and softly. Close your eyes and feel into where you are in this present moment. Feel into the bottoms of your feet. Feel into your hands. These hands that have given you so much, that have enabled you to really interact with the world. Feel into those hands. Take a deep breath, letting your shoulders relax. And if your body wants to take a couple more deep breaths, I invite you to do that right now. Wherever it is that you're breathing from right now, maybe ask your breath to go a little bit deeper into your tummy, allowing for each breath to be fortified by your deep life force within your belly. Maybe internally or externally, if you're in an environment where it's appropriate, take a breath in and let out a sigh of acknowledgement and gratitude for being here in your body in this present moment. There's nothing at all for you to do right now in this moment. Just listen to my voice as I guide your higher intelligence through this very quick process that will allow you to recollect any energy that has left your body, mind, and spirit in the past, present, and future. I ask you to see a solid color of energy inside of your body right now. This could be purple, blue, green, orange, yellow, pink, white, whatever color spontaneously pops up in your mind. Just ask for you to focus on that color inside of your body. This color might even want to become the color of your skin. The important thing here is just to focus on the inside of the body and out to the skin, but not on the outside of your body. Take a few deep breaths. Let this color flow through your body, reminding your whole system about your boundaries for embodiment. Right now, I call in on behalf of your higher self, on behalf of that guiding force within you that is truth, that is love, that is who you are. I ask for you to just now place your hands palms up. You can bring your hands out to your sides and have your palms up, or you can have your hands on your lap with your palms facing up, and this is going to be your gesture of receiving. As I right now am calling in all of your fragmented energy from space and time, past, present, and future, known and unknown. And as this energy is flowing back to you, we are asking and commanding that this energy is purified, that it is brought current with your highest and best energy field within your body. So just let that energy and those fragments begin to move through the palms of your hands and into your body, all with the same initial color that you are visioning. I'm going to give you just about 30 seconds in silence as we all let these different parts that maybe were confused, maybe disconnected, maybe drained from you in the past, we invite those and call those in now for your wholeness. Giving yourself permission to receive all of you, to receive all of you without apology, knowing that if there were any people, places, and things that this energy was connected to in the past, that their energy is fully going back to them and that your energy is fully coming back to you. And with the last deep breath, I ask that you take your hands now and place them one over the other, right over your belly, right over your belly button. You can see your life force energy here in this present moment, really starting to solidify around this core that is in your belly. I ask you now to see all of that color that you had chosen before that has been a part of your body and into your skin, just watch it all now start to come to the center of your body, right below your palms and right behind your belly button. Deep breathing into your returned essence. Knowing that for some of you, it may have been a very long time since you've had this much of yourself inside of yourself. Welcome that back in the knowing that it is only good, that it is only powerful, that it is only peaceful for you to reclaim this back into yourself now. You can go ahead and let your palms now rest wherever they would like to go and start wiggling your fingers and wiggling your toes. And whenever it feels ready for you, let your gaze gently open, seeing the room around you, feeling back into your body fully again, feeling back into those feet, and just taking a deep breath, letting it out, feeling yourself new in this moment with all of you here and getting ready to be super excited about whatever fun things that you have to express within yourself now that you have
right.
These energy fragments returned.
Gosh, that's just funny. You know, that's one of the things that I ask in a lot of my meditations is everywhere where you scattered yourself around universes, would you be willing to collect them back? It's so cute that you added that in, it's just like that, because we do that. We separate from ourselves and we especially separate from our flaws. You know, the things that we want to reject or we want to put somewhere else or we think is bad and wrong and unworthy of us, we try to put that somewhere else. So that was just absolutely beautiful. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, you're welcome so much. And you really hit it right there with what you said. You know, sometimes women ask me, well, okay, because let's just, we all have hundreds of flaws, okay? Let's just get that out in the open. And, you know, in the case with the brain surgery, I share my flaw, which was very physical, but flaws come in many different shapes and sizes. You know, there's character flaws, there's addictions. I've had people share stories with me, everything from flaws that are, you know, feeling like they can't be loyal in their romantic relationships to feeling as though they can't find success in business. You know, I mean, flaws are all over the place. So when people ask me, how do I know what my biggest flaw is? I always answer, it's the thing that you want to talk about the least. And for sure, if we have things that we want to talk about the least, absolutely, on some level, we are draining energy there. Even if we can't consciously see it, we are draining energy there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you just shared around, you know, your awareness with that, and that we do scatter it, you know, all over the place. And of course we do, because we're human. And, you know, there's always cleanup work that we get to do on behalf of ourselves. So thank you for participating in that. And I would love to know if anyone experienced, you know, some value or returned renewed energy within that process.
Yeah. And any of you guys, press star 2 if you want to share some of your experience from that meditation. We've got a few of you queued up. Before we take callers, though, I really want to there's a few more things that I noticed about you, Renee, and I've never heard anybody ask this of you, but I really am just like dying to ask you.
Oh, please.
What I notice about your energy is you truly embody this wealth, riches, abundance. I don't want it to be money related frequencies, and that seems what just came out of my mouth. But the essence of you truly embodies that I am amazing, radiant, beautiful. I am me, and I love me, and I perceive that about you. Tell me, it's kind of clear from your story, there's little inklings in there that makes me go, Well, that clearly wasn't as it, you know, that clearly wasn't always the case. Was mm-hmm. there a turning yeah. point for you? Like, what mm-hmm. was it that really changed everything that got you into that, I'm great. I'm mm-hmm. great. I know I'm great. I'm the superstar. Because that's yeah. the frequency I receive from you.
Thank you. That is such an honor. My heart is smiling very big right now. Thank you for sharing that with me, and thank you for asking this question. What you just shared is, for me, the juiciest, most sincerely rich thing that I could hear from someone, because that's my life purpose. You know, I believe that mm-hmm. I'm here to shine back to other humans, and in particularly women, their own greatness that already exists beyond, you know, all the things that they perceive, and including all the things that they perceive as shadows. So thank you for sharing that. I really want to receive your compliment there. And yes, for sure. First of all, I think that I was born just a very connected, sort of intuitive being. So I've always, a part of my DNA is very curious and very optimistic. And I think I also was just naturally born with a lot of strength. So I think that those things have been very helpful in my path. However, when I was sharing about when I had moved myself to California and I had the aha moment, I can point to some things that were significant techniques and tools that I used, which completely transformed my life. And the first one is so basic, and I already mentioned it. It's meditation. Before I started meditating when I was 21, I had never heard of it before. You know, like I said, I was in the Midwest, you know, born and raised there, and people were not talking about meditation in the 70s and 80s there. And, you know, like the early 90s. So getting introduced to a meditation practice and reading the book Autobiography of a Yogi from Paramahansa Yogananda. And I just so happened to be blessed and to live in the city where he built one of his first self-realization fellowship temples. So learning the practice of meditation absolutely helped to instill what I say, beauty is skin deep, but radiance is eternal. And you don't need to be pretty to be beautiful. You know, all you need to do is look for your radiance inside. So meditation was very helpful for me there. Something profound for my mind and my emotional stability was when I got certified in neurolinguistics and hypnosis. Because prior to doing that course, I truly never realized that we were in relationship with life. And you can't laugh. I was going to say don't laugh, but you can't laugh because it's really cute. I refer to life as my boyfriend. I refer to life as my partner. And I truly get up in the mornings and say, life, thank you for providing for me today. Life, thank you. Like, thank you for being on my friend. On my side. Thank you for being my friend. And before I learned neurolinguistics, which is really how we use words to help shape our life and shape our reality, I really didn't know that I was being a co-creator with life. So that for me was a huge, you know, aha and breakthrough, because then I could start really making goals and start communicating to myself and others in life from a perspective of what I wanted rather than what I thought that I was just getting from life, you know, on some sort of default system. So that was really huge. Mm-hmm. And then I went through three near-death experiences. You know, my Flip Your Flaws talk is about the brain surgery. And to be frank, if I were to lead, you know, out in the world with the fact that I've had three near-death experiences, it would be very, very overwhelming for people, because I've just had a big life. Like, you know, before age 35, I'm now 40, but before age 35, I had, I would say, like, for sure, at least 10 lives, you know, already by 35. And I, for whatever reason in my life path, I got to experience extreme tragedy and extreme devastation within my physical body to the point that for me in my life path, I couldn't help but search and find who I was beyond my body because that was what saved my life. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be here. I for sure would be dead had I not learned how to really communicate with myself on a cellular level. And, you know, that as far as what I can share is, you know, like techniques and practices for other people who also want to do that as well. It goes back to simple things too, like meditation, you know, listening to different audiovisual series that can help you, you know, walk through your body, mind, and spirit and start integrating and connecting at deeper levels. I just kind of discovered my own way of doing it, but there are plenty of experts, you know, out in the world that can help be teachers, you know, and guides for us in this integrative connection between body, mind, and spirit. So that's really where it came from for me. And then the last thing I'll share is that on the very last near-death experience, I actually almost didn't make it. And I thought for sure that I would probably die after that one because I had been bedridden for almost 2.5 years. This is after I had brain surgery. I was bedridden, you know, for a very long time. And for me, that was my ultimate letting go of freedom because even after I had brain surgery, I could still move in my physical body. So I didn't feel imprisoned. But when I was bedridden, I really felt completely imprisoned. And the layer of acceptance that I had to get to there was the fact that I may be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. And when I started pondering that, the real gemstone that came to me was, well, that's okay. Even if I were to be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, I didn't fail. You know, could it be possible that I am healthier than any other person on the planet, even though I might not look like it on the outside? Maybe on the inside, I'm more healthy and more resilient than any person on the planet because of everything that I've lived through. So, you know, what I'm sharing here is that I had to do a really deep dive with my own perspective and shift them around to make me feel ultimately empowered no matter what I was going through on the outside. And once I really got that I wasn't going to die, that I was going to live through that experience, for me, I knew that I fully wanted to surrender myself over to a greater good and a greater cause. So I just got out of my own way, you know, I guess to say, as much as we can do that, you know, I got out of my own way. Mm-hmm. And I really just asked to be used as an example, as a healing portal, as a vessel for other people to gain their deepest empowerment, to gain their deepest self-love. So I feel like I was kind of polished by spirit, if you will, so that I could really just reflect, you know, back to other people the greatness at which they are by showing them that you can be this way. So, you know, I did my own work, but there was also a real surrender into spirit and what life wanted me to be. I don't know if this is fully making sense. I've never explained this to anyone in this way.
It's absolutely exactly okay. What I asked for. I think that that's absolutely incredible. I mean, and so many people on this line I know are just going, oh, yes, that's, but I'm trying to surrender. You know, yes. I think the big word in there is trying in a lot of areas of life. And then there's still this control freakish nature. Mm-hmm. I don't want to surrender, and I don't know why.
Even if we do know why, when it actually comes to the full act of doing it, like that information is still pretty useless, but our mind, you know, will always ask that question, right? So even, sure, right. You know, there, yeah, it's more just whenever there is resistance, which is going to continuously come up because we're human beings and it's a natural part of life to feel resistance. You know, there are clues that can come to us, you know, even as we're experiencing resistance. Sometimes we can get positive feedback from resistance. But if you're noticing that you're having resistance and it's not a positive feedback loop, and you truly just wish and desire to surrender, I would absolutely invite you, you, me, you know, everyone on this call and everyone in the world, to just move even past why it hasn't happened up until that present moment, and with your free will, just call in, I just am surrendered right now. I just am. Show me what that looks like. Show me what the surrender looks like, because that's what I'm choosing right now. All the way, 100%, I'm surrendering. Show me. Show me what this looks like right now.
Oh, my God. Right. It's so amazing. Thank you for changing everyone's lives on the call today. So, very grateful.
Beautiful, bountiful blessings to you. Thank you, everyone, and many, many blessings to your evening.
Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. If you like this episode, go to realrawyou.com/podcasts and share with your friends. Feel free to find us on Facebook and Twitter at realrawyou. Also, be sure to check out our sponsor at lifedesignschool.org. and receive that 4-part video series about creating your life by design. Here's a brief commercial about my book, Falling in Stilettos. Here's a little bit about what it's about. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Oh my God. What happened? Where am I? Think, Rachel. Think. What if one day you woke up and your life wasn't as you remember? Who would you be? Who could you trust? What would you choose? What is Jake doing here? That's what happens in Jenna's upcoming transformational chick lit novel, Falling in Stilettos.
It's time to come home, Rachel.
Home? Our home? With you. Now available on Amazon.